The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It is a numbers game, hour number two here on VSiN. Matt Brown in for Gil. Gil enjoying the fruits of his labor out there on vacation. Kelly Bidlin behind the glass. Kevin on the ones and twos over there. Just a big montage here on ESPN of all the different Aaron Rodgers shots. So again, Aaron Rodgers just showing up everywhere. He, even when he's not front row at a sporting event, I have to look at a montage of him being front row at the different sporting events. So 10 different angles, 10 different angles of Aaron Rodgers at various sporting events. He better have rung the bell today. He better be somewhere else doing something very New Yorkian today.
I feel like it's get it out of my system, right? Like, there's no way Aaron Rodgers is showing up to every, like, big New York sporting event a year from now. No way.
Well, I don't know, man. They owe him $107 million next year. So if they tell, I would do anything for I'm trying to think of what I wouldn't do for $107 million. If they were like, hey, we need you to show up at these two games and then go play Bethpage Black and then head up to Buffalo and like do a photo op with Josh Allen, I'd be like, yeah, sounds great. I mean, with $107 million, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. It doesn't matter to me in the least bit. What I wouldn't do for $107 million, the list is very, very short.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
It's a very, very short list. The list actually might not be existent. Like, it might be non-existent out there. Oh, what a treat this must be for this guy to get to talk to me 2 days in a row. He is my friend from up north. He knows the NHL better than anybody. He is Jake Hahn. Jake, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much, Matt. It's true. We should just make this like a daily occurrence. I'll just talk to you all week, especially this time of the year, in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And what a night last night. Two game sevens. We get one more game seven tonight, and then we can finally close the book on the first round, which feels like it's taken a while, but I say that is a good thing.
You can find him on Sirius XM, The Point. You can find him also on the Fantasy Hockey Show on Sirius XM as well. And it's unfortunate that that's not on video and you can see his beautiful head of hair that is typically on display for Jake Hahn, because boy, it is something of legend. Jake, so let's talk about one of those games last night and the Panthers and the Bruins. And you and I did get a chance to speak about this a little bit yesterday before this went down. And you said while you did like the Bruins, the value was probably on the Panthers. And this was something that we actually used as a pro tip here in the first hour. And you've said it since I've been talking to you about hockey, which is it's a high variance sport. And whenever you look and you're getting nearly 2-1 on a team in a one game sample, it's probably the values on a team like the Panthers. And sure enough, they end up pulling it off in overtime. And that variance was on display that you talked about last night. I mean, I know you saw it and it's been replayed a million times, but the Bruins put up a shot. It gets over the goalie's arm. It just happens to hit the handle of the stick. It goes out and then it doesn't get, they don't win the game. And then of course the Panthers end up a couple of minutes later going and scoring and winning the series. And so I think everything that you've talked about from a hockey betting standpoint almost manifested in just that one game in this one series.
Well, and exactly what you said too, Matt. Like, you can even look back at previous closeout games for the Bruins in that series, and you go back to Game 5. Tie game, 5 seconds left, Brad Marchand gets a breakaway. You're thinking, okay, this is it. He's going to close the book on this series, finish it off. He gets stopped. Game goes to overtime. Bruins goaltender Ullmark makes a gaffe behind his net. You know, easy tap-in goal for the Panthers, and all of a sudden they get new life, and eventually they do come back and win the series. I don't think Florida was getting enough respect in this series at all from the get-go. I totally understand Boston had this historic regular season and they were full marks for it, but I think a lot of people, and maybe myself included, forget that this Panthers team won the President's Trophy last year, and maybe they didn't have the Bruins-type regular season, but they had a great regular season. They won a playoff round last year. It was only Tampa that got in their way in the second round, who's obviously a great hockey team. So I think people forgot how good this Panthers team actually is just because they had a bad first half of the season. They figured it out in the second half. And you can actually argue that this version of the Panthers team is actually better and more ready to win playoff rounds than the team that won the President's Trophy last year, adding Matt Tkachuk into the fold, who's quickly become a top five player in the National Hockey League. So not only do I think they didn't get enough respect against the Bruins, I don't think they're getting enough respect even in the second round, looking at the odds against the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think that's going to be a fantastic series, guys. And for entertainment value, I can't think of a better second round matchup than Toronto and Florida. There's a lot of skill on both sides of the ice there.
Another game seven last night, Kraken and Avalanche. The Kraken do take it down 2-1. All three goals scored there in the second period. The Avalanche thought that they tied this thing up early on in the third. A review, the goal gets disallowed, and We get a scoreless third period, and Kraken do hold on 2-1. What did you see in this game? Anything to take away from this game? Do you look at the Kraken a little bit differently than you did maybe even heading into this with them being able to win this kind of low-scoring grind of a game? What did you take from that thing?
Oh, I totally look at the Kraken a lot differently, you know, over the last 2 weeks, Matt. I had respect for them coming into the series, and I actually thought that they had a really good chance of pushing Colorado, but there was still a bit of a prove-it factor to me. Like, okay, maybe I think it in my mind, but I need to actually see it executed on the ice to really believe it and take this team seriously. And I saw it. I mean, you could argue that the series could have been over even quicker than Game 7. You know, you credit the Avs. They've got that championship pedigree, and they forced it to a seventh game. But to go into Colorado in that hostile environment and win a game like that, you know, come through, execute, and hang on in the third period, like, that's not easy. You're going to get the full-court press from Colorado all third period long. And, you know, those big boys coming over the boards, McKinnon, Rantanen, Makar, and Seattle was able to hang on. I have to give a lot of credit to Philip Grubauer, which was the one spot, the goaltending spot for Seattle that I thought would really bite them, that they didn't have that top-end goaltending. He stepped up and he played like a top-end goaltender in that series. So I don't know what to make of Seattle-Dallas. It's not the series I expected to be handicapping for the second round. I think it could be a lower event, probably lower scoring series between those two teams, but Seattle is full marks for winning that. I think they should be taken very seriously, not only in this round against Dallas guys, but as a team that could possibly go on a very legit deep run here.
Talking to Jay Khan, you can find him over on SiriusXM. You can also find him on the Twitter machine at JayHan4. Jake, we'll circle back to the series prices in just a minute, but we do have a Game 7 tonight, and we have the Rangers and the Devils right now. We are not quite a coin flip. Devils minus 120 on the money line, even money on the Rangers if you want to play this thing. 5.5 is the total. What should we expect tonight in Rangers and Devils?
Well, like you guys were talking about before, do we know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be at this game or not? Is he going
to
be?
Oh, well, that's true, because the last one was a Rangers game, so he could go to this one. That's, and still, he is. He will be. Absolutely, he will be, for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
We might need to make a side bet on that.
Yeah, there's got to be a prop for that now, right, guys? Yeah. Like, will Aaron Rodgers attend the game? But, no, in all seriousness, looking at this game, this has been such a difficult series. And I talked to you a bit about this on your show yesterday as well, Matt, that this series in general is just so hard to predict for me. I really do think that these teams are as even as it gets. And I've said multiple times, I think whoever comes out of this series is going to beat Carolina in round two. So I'm ready to bet either the Rangers or the Devils against the Canes in the next round. It, you know, all comes down to a game seven, which I think is great. I can't wait to watch this one tonight. I got to stick with the Rangers because this is who I picked pre-series. This is a team that I bet to win the Stanley Cup at the start of the year as well. And this series has kind of been about momentum shifts. It was the Rangers early, then the Devils win three straight, and the Rangers fight back. So maybe it's just on their side at this point. They've put that doubt in the mind of the New Jersey Devils. The Rangers have a lot of guys that have been in these types of situations before, these game sevens, these big games, whereas on the Devils' side, maybe not so much. And I think that might play into their favor tonight. But this is a tough one, guys. The odds are close to a coin flip. I think that's exactly where they should be. But I'm the even money with the New York Rangers to find a way to get it done tonight in Newark.
If we take a look at the series prices that we know, and oh, by the way, if you we talk about this all the time, but if you want to bet the Devils, they're minus 115 on the series price. So just, again, like just shop around. You can make the same bet in just different markets. But we got the Leafs and the Panthers. We got the Stars and the Kraken. We have the Oilers and the Knights. Of the three underdogs, plus 145 on the Panthers, plus 165 on the Kraken, plus 130 on the Knights, if you had to play one of these underdogs to win the series, which one do you like the best?
Yeah, so there's actually two here that I think do have value, and there's one that I don't like at all that I would certainly go to the favorite in. And you make a good point there too, Matt, about the series price. I'm looking at it right now, Devils minus 115, whereas they're minus 120 in the hockey game. So that's a great way of going about it, getting yourself a little bit extra value if you do want to back the Devils tonight. That's a great way to do it. But there's two dogs that jump out, like Seattle plus 165. I've seen some plus 170s hanging out around there as well. I think it's a great price for the Kraken. I do favor Dallas in this series for sure, but I mean, we just saw Seattle was able to go into Colorado and win big games against the defending champs. So who's to say they can't do the same thing to the Dallas Stars? I think there's still a little bit of disrespect going on there. And Florida at plus 145, I think is a fair price. I do think that the Leafs are a more talented team, probably a deeper team than Florida. And you can make the case that every game could be a home game for the Maple Leafs in that series. The building in Florida is just going to be packed with Leaf fans. So they're going to have a bit of an advantage when it comes to that. But I like the Seattle. I like the Florida prices. Vegas, Edmonton is the one that I wouldn't touch. I wouldn't touch the dog. I'm all over Edmonton in these playoffs. I think L.A. was going to be one of their toughest challenges. They got
bias.
Through that.
Canadian bias.
I feel like the bias. I feel like the Oilers are gonna beat them in five games here, guys. It could be a quick one.
Let's go.
Canadian bias. Jake Hahn taking the Edmonton Oilers over the Vegas Golden Knights. I know how this is going. All right, Jake, we got about 40 seconds here. Plus 350 for the Leafs, 450 for the Oilers, 550 for the Stars, 650 for the Knights, 7-1 for the Canes. Panthers are sitting 11, Devils sitting 11, Rangers 13, and Kraken are 20. Those are all the futures odds to win this whole thing. Is there any team that someone who's dropping in today and just wants to have some action, what's the bet to make?
So I think that this is an interesting one. There's a couple ways I would want to go about this. Guys, like I just said, whoever wins game seven between the Rangers and the Devils tonight, I think should win the second round, in my opinion, over the Canes. So then, you know, all of a sudden you're in the conference final, you're facing Toronto or Florida in that instance. So I actually think both the Devils and the Rangers have value. It just comes down to picking which team you think is going to win tonight, which is the difficult part of this. But if you can get that right, all of a sudden you get the Rangers at like 13-1 or the Devils at 11-1 in a really good spot. That's where I would go with it if you have a strong feel for that game tonight. In terms of favorites, I'd go back to Edmonton, guys, around, you know, plus 450, 5-1 odds. I think this Oilers team is primed for a run to the Stanley Cup final.
Find him over on SiriusXM on the Twitter machine at Jahan4. He is Jahan. Thanks for the time, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, boys. Always great talking to you.
Let's talk some more NFL odds when we come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you ready for the most exciting 2 minutes in sports? Well, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for just $9.99 American, the $13.53 Canadian, and get all access to everything we do, including the upcoming Kentucky Derby betting guide. We have profiles on the horses, jockeys, and trainers, so you know which horses are the favorites, the sleepers, and the long shots. Plus, best bets from Dave Tooley and other VSiN experts to help you make the most out of your Kentucky Derby bets. This offer won't last long, so subscribe today. It might last long. I don't know. It's seems to be a thing, but $9.99. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Take in all that we have to offer. See if you want to become an annual subscriber. Hopefully you do. Kelly, we talked about this a ton. Kelly and I have done shows together for several years.
You're interviewing a horse?
I'm negative infinity on betting the Kentucky Derby over my lifetime. I have never won a single penny betting the Kentucky Derby. I'm probably down five figures lifetime, and I'm just going to continue just firing. You know, I'm just going to keep on doing it. I will certainly end up betting more than I want to when this rolls around again, and I will probably lose yet again.
I am with you. It's the Kentucky Derby and just horse racing in general. It's like video poker to me, where I'm like, I always look around. People will tell these video poker stories about how much they won, and I'm like, I win like 19% of the time I play this crap. Like, what are you guys doing that's so different? Kentucky Derby would be the same thing. That is my annual donation to the sports book. Here, take my money. I don't even need to check.
You just said crap. I hadn't won playing craps in like 2 years. I don't think I left with more money than I started with in like 2 years playing craps.
Craps is always dicey. Because
you get
up or down so quick, right? Like, that's always the tough part. It's like, man, you could be down and out within 30 minutes.
You have to be willing to, like, walk away after 6 minutes.
Yes.
And no one ever does that, which is why you end up giving it back. Like, if you hit, like, 3 points just right off, you should just leave.
Nobody ever does.
But no one ever does. You don't do it. None of us ever do it. That being said, horse racing stuff is this Saturday, Kentucky Derby, so be sure and stick around. We'll have tons of stuff up and down the network on that. Don't know if we'll have any interviews with the horses themselves. We've tried that for the last couple of years. It has not worked out, but we'll see. Maybe we can get some inside info from any of those guys as to what's going on.
Quite the show's on Saturday, man. It's you and that 7 hours of Matt Brown and me of Kentucky Derby, either preview or live in action. Get ready for it.
Yeah, you'll have to make your bets before you go on air. Just, you got to remember, like, this is one of those things, right? I mean, you get on air, you know, we always forget to make bets once we actually get on air.
That's
the Boyd
true.
App.
That is true.
The Boyd app allows you to make horse bets. Did you know this?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I did not know.
Yeah, you don't have to have the separate account there with the whole nine.
Okay, that's nice. That's nice.
So little, the more you know, right? There's your pro tip.
There you go.
There's your pro tip.
Vegas pro tip.
There's your pro tip for the hour. Okay, so we were talking about the NFL draft. And look, when the NFL draft wraps up, we just get markets popping up left and right. You can start to get an idea of where they are going to kind of start taking some money on some of these things. And one of the deals that did pop up, of course, is offensive and defensive rookie of the year. These are some markets in which you can come in and start firing on before you even really know how these are going to shake out. Now, there are safer bets than others because some of the bets we know that there's going to be a role for the player no matter what. There are other bets in which that maybe they are not necessarily as safe because, as I just mentioned, while I believe Will Levis could be the starter, maybe even week one there for Tennessee, it's not a guarantee. It's not a given. So you could bet on Will Levis, but you'd be betting on Will Levis that maybe he's going to sit for a few games, and is that going to be too much for him to overcome to take down one of these other guys? Now, when I look at these original, when these kind of originating odds here for the offensive rookie of the year, Bijan Robinson is sitting 3-1, Bryce Young plus 475, Jaxon Smith-Njigba and CJ Stroud both at 7-1, Jahmyr Gibbs is 9-1, as is Anthony Richardson. Then you get into the double digits, and it's a pretty big jump. Jordan Addison at 17, Zay Flowers at 18, Zach Charbonnet is at 20, you got Quentin Johnston at 20. As well, and we can go even further down whenever we start to look at some of these offensive rookie of the year numbers, because as I mentioned, there are Will Levis odds out there at 25-1. Hendon Hooker also sitting at 20-1. Josh Downs, Jalin Hyatt, 25-1 as well. Bijan Robinson is your favorite for a reason. He should be. That being said, there are mouths to feed there in Atlanta. Now, I don't know if they end up moving one of either Algiers or Cordell Patterson. I don't know. But as of right now, it's kind of a three-man backfield for Atlanta. So I get why he's 3-1. You know he's going to get some touches. But Kelly, when you look at it, it's going to be it's not like they're going to automatically just go to a bell cow back situation. Algiers ran for 1,000 yards last year. I mean, like, they're, maybe it's a 60-40 split, but is 60-40 going to be enough to overcome a Bryce Young, who, by the way, is going to start from day one there in Carolina? I actually think that number on Bryce Young is pretty intriguing. It's pretty interesting. I know it's not super sexy. It's plus 475. We typically love to have these numbers where we can, you know, do the Twitter victory laps because we have such a long number. And it's like, you know, you get pat on the back with all that stuff. But plus 475, Bryce Young, I think is pretty interesting.
These intrigued me a lot more than I thought they would, Matt, because – yeah, I understand Bijan being the short shot, but like you said, it's a crowded backfield. Quarterbacks, I know more recently that this award has been more spread around to the position-wise, but you get quality quarterbacks that you know are going to start the entire season, you know, barring injury. It's hard for me to look away from those guys, so I agree with you on Bryce Young. I think you could easily make a case for C.J. Stroud at that number. And then the one that's really intriguing to me is Anthony Richardson if he starts. Because what's the one thing I know I'm going to get out of Anthony Richardson, no matter how many struggles he has throwing the ball or how much struggles that offense has, is his legs, right? So it's essentially what you got out of Justin Fields this previous season, right? It's kind of what I think the high side of what Anthony Richardson's rookie year could be. So that one, the three quarterbacks, I think those are all numbers that you could bet. Maybe Stroud would be my least favorite of the three, just because I think that team, just the talent of the roster is lower than the other two. But yeah, man, I think the quarterbacks are definitely bettable here.
Yeah, I look at Jahmyr Gibbs sitting at 9-1, and I know that is at least interesting to a lot of people, because you see that, Jahmyr Gibbs, they took him with a super high draft pick. But let's remember, they signed David Montgomery in the offseason as well. So, I mean, they have to pay him. He is getting money no matter what. And then what was the one knock? And if you played fantasy football last year, this is one of the things that, you know, it was a real bummer. And then also just from a betting market, people look at counting stats and all. Kelly, they gave all the touchdowns to Jamal Williams last year. DeAndre Swift didn't get any of the touchdowns. And so what if Jahmyr Gibbs becomes the between the 20s guy, and then it's David Montgomery every time they get into the red zone? Are people going to give a rookie of the year to Jahmyr Gibbs even if he runs 1,200 yards, but he's only got two or three touchdowns. I mean, like, these are things we have to consider, I think, in these markets where if they go the route that they have in years past, they have given the red zone touches to a different guy than the guy that got him there.
Yeah, this was – I'm glad you brought him up because he was a guy I was pretty high on for the draft. He ended up even going way earlier than I even thought he was going to. But I think he could be a very dangerous weapon and maybe that kind of, you know, sort of Alvin Kamara mold. But you're right. You got to look at track record with what the Lions have done there. I was hoping that this is a bet I was going to make, but I thought I was going to get longer. I was going to get bigger odds on it, right? It just 9-1 with the uncertainty of how they're going to treat those backs. I think you got to stay away. The only thing that kind of made me re-interested by it is was that when they moved Swift, this number barely changed.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing where I think if you want to compare what this number was before Swift got traded to what it is now, it's basically the same thing. So you could make the argument that that there is value on it from that standpoint. But I'm with you, man. I think I would need to see how that backfield's going to play out before I could get invested in that.
I think the most interesting one to me right now is the 25-1 on Will Levis because of the numbers grab aspect of it, right?
Yeah. Do you have him longer than Hendon Hooker?
Right, because Bryce Young's 475 and C.J. Stroud is 7-1. Like, C.J. Stroud's going to play on one of the two worst teams in all the NFL, but he's 7-1 because we know he's going to start from day one.
Yep.
Bryce Young is plus 475. We know he's starting from day one. Anthony Richardson is 9-1 because Jim Irsay came out and said he's starting, you know, I mean, so it's not going to be Gardner Minshew. It's going to be Anthony Richardson. They spent this high draft pick on him, so he's going to start. He is only 25-1 because there are question marks around him whether he's going to start or not. If he wins that job, this 25 turns into 12 like overnight, if not lower than that.
Yep.
So I think just from a numbers grab play, getting a Levis ticket, not a big one that's not going to affect you or anything, but getting a Levis ticket now before he actually wins the job is probably, to me, as we sit here today on, you know, on Monday, May the 1st, whenever, if I had to make a bet, it'd probably be just getting a Levis ticket in there, assuming that he is going to either win the job or take the job very soon after the season starts. And now my 25-1 ticket has a bunch of value because it's probably sitting, you know, more like 10, 12 to 1 sometimes.
Yeah, I like it. Again, just compare, you know, quick comparison to Hendon Hooker. It's like the likelihood of Will Levis starting is far more likely than Hendon Hooker, and Hendon Hooker's at 20-1. So I'm with you. I don't think that's a bad bet.
Let's continue talking some NFL, shall we? Look, it is the king anyway, and our friend Eric Eager coming back here on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our shows and hosts and guests. You get unlimited access to VSiN.com/picks page as well. You can sort the picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. You can check out the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can sign up for just $9.99 American over at VSiN.com/subscribe. I want to thank Keen for tweeting in to let us know he's actually not going to be at Rangers Devils Game 7 for sure. He already did the hockey thing, Kelly. What we do know, though, apparently the Met Gala is tonight. Aaron Rodgers is minus 700 to be there. the tour of New York, if the Met Gala really is tonight, he is going to be there for sure.
Yeah, I've pulled up other events going on in New York City tonight. That seems to be the biggest. So I'm with you. I think your number is pretty accurate.
Well, it's like you said, he also is in the businessman Aaron Rodgers right now.
Oh, so he'll look great in tux.
He'll have the tux on. He doesn't have the hobo look going on anymore or any of that. So this guy he's going to be good to go.
Yeah, he's looking sharp. Met Gala. He's ready for it.
It's, you know what? I just upped it. Minus 850. We took a big bet. It's moved already to minus 850. All right. Join us here on the program. He is my friend and yours. You can still find him over at the Sumer Sports Show. He's also a VP over there at Sumer Sports as well. He is Eric Eager. Eric, how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. What a fun weekend of looking into these teams' souls and hopefully for all the listeners here winning some money.
So I want to – I'm not going to do the whole grade team this and whatever. I know everyone's coming out with their grades and whatnot. But I do want to say, is there any team you thought did exceptionally well and added some players that maybe even – I know it's not going to drastically change your view on any of these teams. These are all rookies and they still have to go out there and do it. But you kind of look at what they did and say, wow, that guy's going to come in and contribute, as is that guy, as is that guy. This team is going to be really, really good.
Well, I think Philly is everybody's favorite right now, taking all the Georgia players, trading for DeAndre Swift. And I think that that has some merit to it for sure. I think that, going out and, giving Jalen Hurts the contract, that makes everything tougher. Last year, Patrick Mahomes was the first quarterback in the history of the CBA to make more than, I think it was like 14% of the salary cap and go on and lead a team to the Super Bowl. So that's a really hard ask. With Jalen Hurts is, of course, a step below that, but making money very similar to that, the 17% that Mahomes, counted against the cap, they're going to have to use the draft and free agent intelligently to make that work. Kansas City last year won the Super Bowl. Their draft picks played the most games out of any draft class last season. So that's the kind of thing you have to do when you're paying your quarterback a lot of money. So I thought the Eagles gave themselves the best chance. I'm really happy with what they did. I think Indianapolis, when you look at, that AFC and how many great quarterbacks are there, the kind of quarterback you're going to need to succeed is going to have to be one of those, sort of amazing talents. And while I think that the floor for Anthony Richardson and the likelihood that he actually becomes one of those players is lower than Stroud and Young, I think his ceiling is much higher. If he hits, I think that the Colts will be a juggernaut, especially in that division, the AFC South, where right now the Jacksonville Jaguars are -160 favorites.
Eric, it's one of these weird situations in which I wanted to really just jump all over the Lions because of what they did in the first round. And then they come back in the second round. I actually really like the Brian Branch pick. I kind of like that they took Hinton Hooker a little bit later. I kind of like what they did later in the draft. But what they did with Gibbs and Campbell there in round one, what did you take from the Lions overall? And is it almost a push because of what they did later in the draft? It seems like they went the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, they're a team that's moving in the right direction. They're favored, +130 or so to be the NFC North champions. By the way, that didn't move at all this weekend, which tells you kind of what the markets believe, what's baked in before and then what the markets believe about drafts. Their draft to me was to win this year, with Gibbs, who I think is a great player, obviously more of a second round value. They take him at 12. Campbell, again, second, third round kind of value, take him in the first round. Those guys are going to contribute right away. I think when, the music stops for Jared Goff, they're going to wish that they had more than Hendon Hooker in the fold to replace him. But as far as this year, with the coordinators both in tow this year, they did a great job as far as, maximizing this year's opportunity to win in an NFC that isn't particularly, strong. So good on them for that. I didn't like, of course, the first two picks just because of the way that value shakes out running back, linebacker. But I think that they do give themselves a really good chance in the NFC. Where the North is basically theirs for the taking, and the whole conference, you're looking at Philly, San Francisco, maybe Dallas ahead of them. They're going to have a decent chance to make the title game for the first time since '91.
Eric, we were talking about rookie of the year and the various odds that are out there, and the longest shot on any of the quarterbacks that has a chance of playing this year, obviously, is Will Levis sitting at 25-1. They trade up to take him early in the second round. They don't owe Ryan Tannehill really anything. Malik Willis, I think they pretty much tipped their hand what they think of him by drafting Will Levis in the first place. So do you think that Will Levis ultimately ends up the starter there, or do you think this is it's Tannehill until Tannehill kind of stumbles a little bit and then they go to Levis?
Yeah, I think that there's also a question of, like, do they hang on to Tannehill until there's an injury, right? I remember 2016, the Eagles had Sam Bradford, they had just traded for him a year ago. And then they go get Chase Daniel to be their backup. And then they draft Carson Wentz and move up for Carson Wentz at 2. And Bradford was supposed to be that quarterback the entire time. Wentz was supposed to sit the bench. And the Minnesota Vikings, when Teddy Bridgewater got injured, they needed a guy and they were able to flip, Sam Bradford for a first. Like, I think Tannehill's, value is probably as low as it's going to be right now. But he's a good enough quarterback. I mean, he led the league in yards per attempt in 2019. They had a really good expected points added, both, 19 and 20, led the team to the one seed in 2021. There's still something there. I think that they go about their business as if Tannehill is going to be the starter this year. And then, when a team needs him, when a team comes calling for a quarterback, You know, then they could flip him and start Levis and go with Willis as the backup. But for right now, I think they go Tannehill until they absolutely can get the most out of that player and that asset.
The big news, of course, we were joking about where Aaron Rodgers is going to be in New York today because it's just the Aaron Rodgers tour over there. But from a football standpoint, he obviously makes the Jets a much better team. What do you think of that roster overall, and what do you think of the Jets' chances? I know the problem is as you were talking about when you were talking about the Colts, is they're in the AFC, and it's just very tough whenever you talk about what you have to overcome to have success over there. But what do you like or dislike about this Jets team?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, like much like the Saints were when, you know, Tom Brady joined the NFC South, you know, the Bills are a great team. Like the Bills are probably the best team in the NFL like last year until the wheels fell off a little bit. And, you know, they're probably a top five team now, even with some defections. You know, I don't know if it's reasonable to expect the Jets to win that division this year, even with Aaron Rodgers. I think it's reasonable to expect them to get a let's say a playoff spot, let's say the Chargers, let's say the Jets. Those are two teams that are reasonable to assume that they'll make the playoffs. Then from there, you just have to let Rodgers magic. Rodgers, his only Super Bowl he's ever won came out of a sixth seed in 2010. He's never been really good as a favorite in the playoffs. So maybe that I would say that's the expectation, 5 or 6 seed, and then you let the chips fall where they may. They can win that division for sure, especially with that defense too. They have both, rookies of the year. I think that they'll be in a good spot, but they should be able to at least make a wild card in this conference.
Eric, we look at the NFC South, and I think the Saints are favored for a reason. I mean, at least they have a proven quarterback there, and I don't know if he's any good or not, but at least they have a proven quarterback there. But you look at the rest of these teams. Do the Falcons or the Panthers, and I don't think the Bucs would necessarily be in the conversation, but, with the rosters that are constructed there, specifically with the Panthers, if Bryce Young can be at least league average as a rookie or whatever, are they super live in the NFC South, or am I just missing kind of that the Saints are head and shoulders above everybody else there?
No, you're not. I think I would probably bet, and I know this is probably, mathematical anyway, but I would probably bet the Falcons or the Panthers instead of the Saints. That would be my bet. I would take that instead of the Saints. I just don't think, look, I've traveled the globe. I've seen all of Derek Carr's playoff starts in person because I've gone to one game. I think that Derek Carr is an overrated entity here. Just because you're a decent quarterback in a conference that doesn't have very many doesn't mean you should be a prohibitive favorite to win a division.
Eric, we got about 30 seconds left in this one. I know you probably have already started looking ahead to the 2024 draft. Caleb Williams is the odds-on favorite by a long shot. Is there anybody you have your eye on that could sneak in there? Is it just Drake May and that's about it?
I think it's Drake May and that's about it. I think Williams is going to be, I think what's funny is Williams probably won't play up to his Heisman level. He'll be a lot like Bryce Young and all those other guys that win the Heisman their penultimate year and then end up just regressing a little bit, which might put Drake May in the mix. But I think like at this time next year, we'll be talking about Caleb Williams, to one of these teams here, maybe the Chicago Bears, maybe Houston again, taking another quarterback. Who knows? Maybe even Arizona if they decide to flip Murray.
You can find him over on the Sumer Sports Show. You can find him on the Twitter machine at @Eric_Eager. He is Eric Eager. Thanks for the time, buddy. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
We're going to come back and close things out. I do want to hit on that 2024 first overall pick thing before we get out of here. Come on back. It's a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM reward points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance. Tokens, if you're planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM reward points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms over at over 20 MGM resort properties located up and down the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. Sign up for BetMGM or log on today. Get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM rewards. Eligibility restrictions do apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you Make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You must be 21 years of age or older to wager. This is a new and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Reward issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly if you are not 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah! There you go. Well done, Matt. Well done. Take the rest of the day off.
That thing right there. Final segment of a numbers game. It is Matt Brown in for Gil vacationing. Kelly behind the glass here. And I brought up with Eric Eager last segment, the number one overall pick in 2024. The odds are already up. Caleb Williams is sitting at minus 550. That makes sense because he is going to be the number one overall pick so long as he doesn't get hurt. But Kelly, from a betting standpoint, I'm not going to allow anybody to lay 550 for over a year.
Nope.
At a position that we have seen guys get hurt. It's unfortunate. We wish nothing but the best for Caleb Williams. But you are not going to lay 550, have that money sit for over a year, only to have it get sucked away and them steal your money because in the third game of the year, he ended up getting hurt or whatever it might be. So do not do that. If you are going to make any sort of bet this time of year, it needs to be a long shot bet of anyone that might be able to rocket up the board. Please listen to me through this. Even Drake May at 6-1
isn't
worth betting right now. If anything, it's going to be the same by the time college football rolls around or whatever. So you don't want to make that either. So I do think that there are two out there that are at least somewhat interesting to me. Quinn Ewers and Michael Penix are two different quarterbacks that are projected in all of these way too early mock drafts to go in the first round next year. Now, we know that doesn't mean they're going to go. Every mock draft had Will Levis going in the first round as well, and he did not go in the first round this past year. But Quinn Ewers was as highly pedigreed a player as you were possibly going to get. I mean, we were talking like can't-miss prospect stuff being thrown around with him. We were saying, you know, as highly marked as Andrew Luck, all these different things. Well, it didn't necessarily pan out last year, but there were moments, there were flashes, and he plays the position that allows someone to kind of go from a middling, lower first-half grade or even a second-round grade all the way to a number one overall pick. We've seen it multiple times throughout the course of the NFL draft in recent memory. This is not just even a long time ago. Baker Mayfield came out of nowhere to go number one overall. The draft grade entering the 2019 season on Joe Burrow was mid-second round, and Burrow rocketed all the way up to number one overall. So Ewers at 50-1, Penix at 50-1. These are two, like, you know, they're not going to get bit questioned about their size. They're not, like, none of these things that we were nitpicking these other quarterbacks about. Like, they're all going to be the prototypical dudes. Now, whether they outplay Caleb Williams or Drake May, that's not what we're doing here. This is a numbers play. It's a numbers grab. This is not a talent evaluation, Kelly. Again, we have to keep beating the drum on this. Hey, when we make these bets, these draft bets, it's not about talent evaluation. It's about the number that you get attached in the likelihood of that maybe coming to fruition. And if you have a 50-1 ticket on Ewers, if you have a 50-1 ticket on Penix, and they play their way at least into the discussion, that's all we need. We just need them to play their way into the discussion like we had with these long shot tickets on Levis and Richardson and all these. It made it to where it was impossible not to win, not to make money on the number one overall pick. So if this 50-1 that you have on Penix or this 50-1 you have on Ewers ends up becoming a 5, 6, 7, 8-1 or whatever, then you have that in your pocket, and it's going to be, then you can come in and bet Caleb Williams, and you're going to make money off the number one pick no matter what. And if some tragedy happens and something happens to Williams, now your 50-1 becomes even more live and is super, super live as far as the number one overall pick as well. So just something to throw out there and continue to beat the drum that this is not a talent evaluation. We know Caleb Williams is the best quarterback. We know that he's the most likely number one overall pick. But sometimes you make bets based off the number attached to the player, and that's what it would be on a Ewers or Penix bet.
I think you just hit everything. I hit the nail right on the head on everything here. But, I mean, especially you can't lay this kind of number this far out. You're talking a year away. You have an entire season to play. I mean, just regardless of injuries, right, you will likely see a better number than this throughout the course of the season as we go on throughout the college football season. I think, I mean, Drake May, I absolutely would say the same thing about 6-1 on him. You're that convinced right now that he could be the first overall pick? I think you need to wait on him. There's a good chance you're going to get a better number than that. You said it great. You got to look further down the board. I think there are some options that you could look at. While you were just talking, I had to do the whole, I feel like this is part of the process now of the whole check how old every one of these quarterbacks are because nobody's drafting a 26-year-old quarterback. The only one to be careful with there is Bo Nix, who will be 25 by the time he gets drafted next year. I know he's going to be up there on some people's
lists. He's going back for his ninth year of college football.
Yeah, with like eight different schools. I don't even really know. But, yeah, I think the – you know, Will Levis, that was a bet that we both made last summer. Mm-hmm. And I will never forget you being like, hey, Will Levis, 40-1. I'm like, cool, what team does he play for? Okay, great, let me add him to the account right now. Look, was that
and he played his way into the conversation.
Yes, like, I mean, he did. He did.
That's all we needed.
It's a bet, Matt, that we didn't hit, but it allows you to make money off of when you're able to basically get, like, I think you'd ended up doing the same thing. But I had plus money tickets on Stroud, Young, and Will Levis. It was impossible for me to really lose money on that first pick as long as Anthony Richardson didn't go there. So even though it's a bet that you're like, dude, he went in the second round, it still allows you when you're crafting all your draft bets to make sure you kind of lock in a profit. And those are the types of things making those kind of bets allow you to do, but you got to look further down the board. Mm-hmm. Have to.
Yeah. And so those would be the two guys that really do stand out to me. Again, these are in these, you know, talent evaluations that we're getting, they are first-round grades at least, or certainly borderline first-round grades, and could certainly play their way into the discussion. And you know, you have a 50-1, and then you're able to kind of play it as a market and make some money along the way. We do have two NBA games tonight. I do want to talk about those with you, Kelly. I know that you will be doing Hardwood Handicappers. That'll be out a little bit later. So if you want the super, super in-depth version of all that, be sure and check that out with Kelly and JVT. We did get reports coming through that there was light shoot around today for Joel Embiid. So even though Doc says he is doubtful, there was a light shoot around for Joel Embiid today. And what that has done, this line is now sitting 9.5. It was 10, right? So at least a half point. Yeah, so at least a half point has come off. So 9.5 in favor of the Celtics. 214.5 is your total in this one. I still don't think he plays. I think this is more of a trying to gauge just how bad this might be, and like, does he have any chance at all to come back for game two? We see this with guys that are injured all the time, but look, it's worth reporting that he at least did do light shoot around.
Yeah, he was at shoot around today, like you said. If you've been listening to Hardwood Handicappers, you know that JVT and I have a serious issue with the way that NBA's been reporting injuries and kind of these tags, especially when they're in bed with sports betting companies now and stuff like this. I think this needs to be a little bit more transparent. You and I talked about this during a break. I fully believe that we're seeing the doubtful tag on Joel Embiid only because Doc Rivers used that actual word during a scrum media session that they had the other day. I don't think he's going to play in this game, like you said. I don't know when he's going to be back, though. And he might be more questionable to probable than he is really doubtful. I don't know, because this is what the NBA and these NBA teams do now. I think
guessing. We're speculating. We really are. We're just speculating.
Julian Edlow does great work for DraftKings. He pointed this out the other day. This is going to be 11 days between games now that Joel Embiid has played, if he did play tonight. I agree with him. I think that, look, we're not doctors, but I think that signifies something a little bit more serious than light. So, yes, I would assume he's not playing. But, Matt, when it comes to series bets or any of that, I'm not ruling him out completely, and he makes such a difference that I don't think you can be going hard on the Celtics right now to win this series if you weren't able to get involved before you kind of knew Embiid was going to be hurt.
Real quick, last game, Suns and the Nuggets. Nuggets are 4-point favorites there at home. 228.5 is the total, so you catch a full four with the Suns. The problem for me here, Kelly, is I thought the Nuggets were looking like the best team in the NBA for the vast majority of the season. They stumbled a little bit down the stretch, and then now they look exactly like that team that I thought that they were. Again, going to be hard for me to go against them as much as I really, really need the Suns to win this with a fat futures that I have on them, but I think it's probably the Nuggets.
Did you bet Nuggets series price for this?
I didn't. I was holding
okay,
out.
Okay, yeah. So I bet it, but me and you are in the same spot. Yeah. Me and you were both able to get Suns tickets right before the numbers shift on the Durant news, so it's going to stink when I lose that, but I'm all over the Nuggets in this series. I haven't bet this yet tonight, Matt. I bet game one, but you saw game one play out. The depth issues that Phoenix has when you get good games out of Durant and Booker, and they're still just not able to keep up with the depth and talent that Denver has.
Thank you to Paul Sporer, Jay Kahn, Eric Eager for joining us here today to talk their various areas of expertise. I'll be back here on the desk tomorrow. Stick around. It is Lombardi Line.